Thank you very much, and thanks for everybody staying around this afternoon. Today I'm going to talk about a program of research that we've developed to look at how stigma and perceptions and fears of stigma are really affecting how pregnant women utilize healthcare services in a rural sub-Saharan African setting. And these are results from the MAMAS study. I have no disclosures to disclose, no relationships to disclose. So just to talk a little bit about a little background on stigma, what is stigma? And so generally it has been defined as attitudes or behaviors that can cause individuals to lose social value in society. And I think we're all aware that there are many health conditions globally that are stigmatized, or even health services that are associated with stigma. And stigma is there's been a lot of theorizing and talking about stigma and the different components. And what I'm really going to talk about today is interpersonal stigma, how stigma works in people's interpersonal relations. There's another level of sort of structural and society and community stigma that also is very important. A lot of these theoretical frameworks that have been developed have kind of been looking at sort of breaking down stigma. What are the different types and elements and dimensions of stigma that people experience? And there's something called anticipated stigma, which refers to people's fears and anticipations of stigma and discrimination if other people were to find out about their status or attribute that's stigmatized. There's something else called perceived community stigma, or some people refer to it as normative stigma or felt stigma, which has to do with people's perceptions of stigma out there in the community. How do people who have this condition or attribute or behavior, how are they treated by other people? What kind of response do they get? And what are the norms in society? Another type of stigma that's been defined is enacted stigma. And this refers to actual experiences of discrimination, abuse, and actual experiences of stigma that people encounter in their daily lives. And it's also sometimes called experience stigma. And finally, there's something called self-stigma, which has to do with how people sort of internalize negative attributes about their condition and feel bad and blame themselves because of their condition. So that's called self or internalized stigma. Another aspect which I think is really interesting, but I don't think has been really sufficiently explored, is how does the experience and feel, and how do fears and experiences of stigma differ according to where the stigma is coming from? And stigma can come up from the wider community. It can come from service providers, as we learned in the previous presentation. And it could also come from people close to you, your family, your intimate partner, or in the case of self-stigma, from oneself. So I think it's really important to look at these and the different the effects that these have on people. Here is a very sort of simplified framework about how I'm sort of thinking about how stigma might affect health. And this is simplified and linear. I know the reality is not that way, but just to sort of get us thinking about it. So we know that stigma has a lot of psychosocial effects. It causes people to live in secrecy and silence, to deny their condition, to feel guilt and fear and shame, and have negative attitudes about people that have this attribute. And that can in turn lead to some behavioral consequences, like lack of disclosure of your condition, delay in seeking health care, avoidance, total avoidance of health services in some cases, isolation, use of untrained providers in some settings, not taking your medications because you don't want people to know about your condition, and even violence, discrimination, and in the context of services, poor quality of care. And these things, of course, have effects on health, resulting in poor mental health, in some cases, faster disease progression, morbidity and mortality, and when there is violence, adverse consequences of violence, and in the case of HIV and other STIs, transmission of infections. And again, as I've shown, this is linear, but we also know that these psychosocial effects can have direct effects on health as well. So the MAMA study stands for Maternity in Migori and AIDS Stigma Study, and we had to stretch a bit to make it MAMAs, but that's what a lot of women who are mothers in Kenya are called, MAMAs, so it fit nicely. And this is a program of research where we're looking at the relationships between women's perceptions and experiences of HIV/AIDS stigma and their use of essential maternity and HIV services. The work that we're doing is in rural Kenya, and we're working in collaboration with a group called Family AIDS Care and Education Services, which is a PEPFAR-funded HIV care and treatment program. And it's mainly working in Nyanza province of Kenya, which is the province in the country with the highest HIV prevalence. So the prevalence in Nyanza province is estimated around 15% of adults aged 15 to 49. And can be even much higher than that in some districts. So our main research questions were, we wanted to look at how these perceptions and experience of stigma affected several things. Oops. One, how do they affect women's acceptance of HIV testing when they come to antenatal care clinics? Two, how does it affect their subsequent use of ANC delivery and postpartum services? And finally, for women who do test HIV positive, how do these experiences of stigma and perceptions affect their use of prevention of mother-to-child transmission interventions and their enrollment in HIV care? And you have to understand, in this kind of a setting, maternity care and HIV care are very much intertwined. That every sort of woman, everyone knows that when you go for prenatal care or you go to deliver in a health facility, you're going to be asked to test for HIV. You're going to be, some people perceive they're going to be forced to test for HIV. And so it's really a situation where these two services have become intertwined and are affecting each other. So this study has basically two components. It's a mixed method study. The first component is a prospective investigation of pregnant women who are attending 9 antenatal clinics. And what we did is we interviewed pregnant women when they came for their first ANC visit of the pregnancy, and we recruited women who did not know their current HIV status. We interviewed them about stigma and a lot of other things. Then they went in and had their visit and were offered HIV testing. And then with their permission, from their medical records, we obtained whether they accepted or refused testing and the result. And then we followed a subsample of these women in late pregnancy and after the birth to look at their subsequent outcomes. Currently, we're conducting an additional qualitative component where we're really trying to explore the situation and needs of women in the community who don't even use health services for pregnancy and childbirth. So you notice in the first component, we're recruiting women from antenatal care clinics. So we're getting a select, although most women do have at least one visit, it's still somewhat of a select population. So in the qualitative component, we're trying to go to the community level and see if there's a population even more at need. The interviews were conducted by a group of lay health workers that are based at these rural antenatal care clinics called community and clinic health assistants. And they conducted the interviews using PDAs to record women's responses to the questionnaire items. We've got three stigma scales, quantitative scales of stigma that we're using in this study. These have all been developed and validated in various sub-Saharan African settings. We have a 9-item scale of anticipated stigma, where we ask women, if you were to test HIV positive and other people found out about your status, how likely do you think the following things would be to happen? And then we have what we're calling a perceived community stigma scale, a 22-item scale, where we're asking about people's perceptions of what's going on in the community. How are people living with HIV and AIDS being treated? And then we have for women who do test positive in the course of the study, in those later interviews, we ask them about enacted experiences of enacted and self-stigma. So we found in our baseline results that rates of anticipated HIV/AIDS stigma were very high among pregnant women, ranging from around 10% of women who thought they would be treated badly by health workers to up to 45% who thought they would lose their friends. I've starred two items that have to do with male partners, and these are important, as you'll see, important items in our analyses and end up being very important determinants. And we've created a measure of anticipated male partner stigma, which is a composite variable based on these two items. Basically, when we look in the study what happened in terms of HIV testing, this was a study that took place over 18 months, and the refusal of HIV testing ranged from around 12% at the beginning of the study to less than 5% by the end of the study. The overall rate of refusal was around 6%. And among those who did accept HIV testing, the prevalence, the HIV positive rate was 18%, which is similar to what we know from these districts. So when we look at what, for those women who were offered HIV testing and either refused or accepted, what were the things that were related to refusal? And we feel like in this high HIV prevalence setting, where one out of every five women, pregnant women, is HIV positive, even a small amount of refusal is not something that we want to see. It's an important missed opportunity. So women's sociodemographic characteristics were not related to HIV test refusal in our initial, in our bivariate analyses. And something important, one of the main variables that really stood out was this concept of anticipated male partner stigma. And you can see that among those who anticipated male partner stigma, 8.3% refused testing, whereas those who did not anticipate male partner stigma, 4.9% refused testing. And in our multivariate analyses, we found that even after adjusting for a variety of individual level predictors, including other types of stigma that women perceived, that this male partner stigma variable was really important, that women who were more than twice as likely to refuse HIV testing if they anticipated this male partner stigma. And overall, when we look at the types and sources, it seems like anticipated stigma was more important than general perceptions of stigma out there in the community, and that stigma from close relationship partners seemed to be more important than stigma from others. So now we are looking at the longitudinal follow-up data, and we're going to be able to look at women's fears and experiences of stigma and how that affects whether they deliver in a health facility, whether they use postnatal and postpartum services, and then for HIV-positive women, whether they use interventions for PMTCT and enroll in HIV care and treatment. It's a picture of our teams from Kenya who did the interviews for the prospective study. And basically, we're using these data and combining the qualitative and quantitative data to guide development of interventions. And we're really looking about ways to positively engage male partners based on the results that we have. So we're looking at home-based facilitated disclosure for couples and also some interventions to prepare health workers to deal with intimate partner violence risks. Thank you very much.